Well, I was funded by the Thomson Reuters Foundation to carry out this, as a journalist fellow at the Institute, the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism at Oxford. So we had to apply with a proposal, paper proposal. And I thought, when I saw this opportunity, I thought there was nothing else that I wanted to study but to look at this phenomenon of self-censorship in the Fiji media, because of the ramifications of self-censorship and for media freedom, in that audiences don't get a full picture and don't get a complete accounting of what the powers that be are up to, and even businesses. So I thought it was a topic ripe for inquiry, especially after the 2014 election, when we were supposed to have returned to democracy and media freedoms are supposed to have improved.
When we talk to people in the Fiji media about the way that the media decree works and how they respond, this word self-censorship comes up quite often. But it's very hard to quantify. In your research, were you able to quantify it and get some measurable research on the phenomenon and how it works and how pervasive it is?
Self-censorship is not an easy topic to study. It is not easy because it relies on people self-reporting, on journalists who are being surveyed self-reporting and saying whether they do or not. So one of the mechanisms that I used to try and measure the phenomenon without actually specifically naming it was what's called a willingness to self-censor scale that was developed around 2004 for public opinion research. And those 8 questions make several statements in which the respondent is asked to rate on whether they were willing or not willing. And then those scores are then averaged out. And in my survey results from the 40 respondents, it showed a slight tendency to self-censor, but the majority of journalists took the middle ground and stuck with neutrality. So they chose the middle, so the mid-range. And I think that in itself is also an indicator of self-censorship at work, and in which journalists choose the safe space of the middle ground rather than go one extreme or the other.
So you're suggesting that perhaps in discussing self-censorship, they were self-censoring their answers?
I thought that could be an interpretation of the result, because it could be that our journalists are fairly neutral, but I think with the follow-up questions, that's what is telling, is that while the survey results showed that they were neutral, the follow-up results with the middle management, senior journalists showed exactly how self-censorship took place, the kinds of things that journalists had to look out for, the kinds of mechanisms that were at work, the kinds of pressures that they came under, including phone calls from people in government, and in which they then had to explain to an editor, who then had to explain to a CEO, so the next time around they would not make the same quote-unquote mistake again by unknowing some powers that be. So in various ways, but then the journalists that I interviewed in follow-up questions also explained ways in which they mitigated these self-censorship tendencies or by either using different words, toning down words, getting other journalist personalities who are more favorable, who could be viewed as more favorable, to read the news or to voice certain reports, or simply to just ignore interviews in which they did that could be seen as too problematic or too sensitive. So
there have been instances where journalists have done interviews with people and thought, this is too politically hot to handle, and simply not filed the story?
Sometimes they have done that. Sometimes they have, if at a particular time when they were doing the story, they felt that it would be too sensitive, they would just drop it altogether. If not, then they would let the interviewees speak for themselves without much commentary from the journalists themselves. So that was one way that I found interesting, was one of the respondents explained how they would, on TV, would just let the interviewees talk and then just, sort of splice all these comments together without any interruption or voiceover from the journalist. And in that way, they could say that they had not actually edited it much, that was not the journalist's opinion, and that was the interviewee's opinions, which was fair enough. So there were many ways in which journalists tried to overcome this, but as talking to them, you realize that sometimes the outside pressures were much more than they could resist.